Welcome to our session about Google Summer of Code 2018. Freifunk has been there as an organization as in the last 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know exactly. And we've got accepted and had a lot of projects and students. And today we just show two of the projects here. And first of all, for people who don't know what is GSOC about, GSOC means Google Summer of Code. It's a program from Google. They have it once a year in summer, in Northern America summer, I guess. And Google wants to say thank you to all the open source organizations where they use software from. They use a lot of open source software there, and so they initiated this program to just give some money to them and help them to find new contributors. And it's in general about 3 months of coding time in summer. It's from May to August. It changes from year to year a bit, and it's for students only. There are some. There are always some conflicts because of when they have exams and when they have to study. And mostly, it fits best for students in America or in Asia. And German students have often problems because their schedule doesn't fit to the Google Summer of Code schedule. There are some numbers. This year we had about, the Google Summer of Code had about 1,500 students. That means it were 1,500 projects in about 300 organizations. They got accepted, and Freifunk was one of these organizations. More than 2,000 mentors have been assigned to the project, so the goal is to have more than one mentor per project to have some fallback. If something happens, another mentor can take the project over. And the support of Google is in form of money. Every student gets about $5,500 for coding 3 months in the summer. If they succeed with their project, there are some evaluations within the project. So if the student fails, or if a student don't do the work we accept from them, they won't get the money. And for every mentor of the organization gets additional $500 to support travel costs and so on for the mentors. Freifunk at Google Summer of Code was very successful for Freifunk this year because we had 14 accepted projects. It was the highest number we ever had in participating Google Summer of Code. We had 12 successful projects. Unfortunately, two students failed with their projects. One didn't even start the project. Another one we had to fail because there was no work from this student. And we had about 20 mentors in our group. Freifunk not only covers Freifunk communities, it's an umbrella organization that includes a lot of wireless community networks in other countries. There is WLAN Slovenia, there is Ninux from Italy, we have Guifi from Spain. There are developers from OpenWRT to develop firmware or drivers or kernel extensions or network protocols we all use in our projects. And so it's not just Freifunk, it's a lot more things happening there, and we just act as the big organization to hold everything together. This is just a list of projects. It's the first half of the list. I don't read all the points now because it continues. And we have a lot of blog posts in our Freifunk blog about every single project. There are, I think, 3 blog posts per project. So if you're interested, just read about our projects. And we have 2 mentors here. It's Moritz. He mentored one of the projects. And Benjamin is still preparing the slides, and he will come up later. And this year, it's the first time the mentors present the projects. Last year, we had some students here to talk about their own projects, and it's a new thing we have. So, welcome, Moritz.
Do you have my slides?
I guess I have your slides. You have to unmute your microphone. Press the button.
Test. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Oh, it's working. Great. Okay, let me untangle some wires here.
And your slides are working too, so...
Yeah, even greater.
Yeah.
Okay, hello everyone. Before I start, I just want to say, if you're a student and you have an idea that might fit in the Freifunk context, it doesn't matter where you're from Europe or from other countries, and you have an idea that might fit into the Freifunk realm in some way, please come forward, write an email. We might be able to find a mentor for you, and can keep you going. So you don't have to select from the website any specific topic. Just come forward with your own idea or search the website. You might get some inspiration from previous projects. Just have a look around. Feel free to ask us afterwards.
Yeah, we also have a website, projects.freifunk.net, where we just collect a bunch of ideas, and you can get in touch with the mentors then.
Yeah, it's quite good if there's a Google Summer of Code. Instead of flipping burgers in your spare time in university in the summertime, you can earn some money, have fun working on projects, and yeah, it also looks great on the CV, I guess. Okay. I had an idea once, where do I start? Yeah, I had an idea, because in this Freifunk community, we have a problem, that is local content. I mean, if you know Freifunk, you might know, but for those who don't, Freifunk networks are mostly used for internet access, but Freifunk isn't really, doesn't want to be a hotspot provider. Internet is more like a service on the network, on the decentralized infrastructure that Freifunk tries to build. But everybody just wants to use Facebook. Okay, it might be a bit exaggerated this way, but if people say when you can't access the internet over the Freifunk network, then Freifunk is broken. This is shit. Sorry. So many communities started to set up local game servers, file servers, whatever, webcams bird's nests, stuff like that. But the premise is, the result is you can't compete with the content on the internet. The cat pictures on the internet are going to be always better than the pictures of your cat. Sorry about that. I thought, okay, what can we use this Freifunk network for? I mean, if not for accessing the internet. And I thought, okay, maybe can use it as a telephone network. So we can put up some routers, some Freifunk routers, and then use this mesh network cloud as a telephone network. Might work good, for example, in disaster areas. Or, yeah, just for fun. I mean, in Germany, we don't really have disasters like earthquakes or volcanoes. I mean, okay, in Eiffel, a volcano, but it's long, long time ago. So I thought, okay, is there some app that can enable us to use the Freifunk network as a telephone network without internet, without any immediate server, maybe even without IPv4? And I did some research, and I didn't find anything, because if you don't have a central server, it's very hard to monetize on it. But we don't want to monetize on it. But even then, I wasn't able to find such a project, so I thought, okay, let's submit it as an idea. Maybe some mentor and some student will find each other, So yeah, I did that and I forgot about it last year. And then Andreas like sent me an email or something like that. Congratulations, you are a mentor. Oh, damn it, what I've gotten into. So I had to read up what this Google Summer of Code is about. And then there were students like emailing me for the project, and I was okay. What student to choose? I think there were around four students, maybe five. It's hard to count because somebody was just trying to what. I have a question here and there, but I think only four were like more persistent. It's very good to contact your possible mentor early on. Yeah. Anyway. In the end, we selected a student, and this student is Daniel, and he chose this app to make a local phone app, and he called it Messenger, like Messenger. But how they speak it in the south of Germany. Anyway, okay. So I think I've already told you about what problem we try to solve. I mean, cat pictures doesn't work on local networks. This is basically the problem. Okay, so I will just skip to the next slide. Okay, we have this local phone app, and. Okay, I wouldn't stand here if it would be a failed project, maybe. Yeah, maybe I would still. But anyway, we have now this app. It's in the Android store, in the F-Droid store. So it's free, it's open source, everyone can download it, it works. You can use it on your local network, like at home, at your company, or of course in the Freifunk network. It works in the local broadcast domain only. It uses IPv6. WebRTC for encoding audio and video, and it doesn't need internet, no DHCP server, so that is great. It uses IPv6 link local addresses, for those who know. So it's what you basically do with this app, let me show it, is you open it, you scan a QR code, which basically contains the IPv6 link local address, and then you just have some contactless and you click it and the other phone will start to ring. So it's a pretty simple idea, but the thing is it wasn't available before. So now it is, and that's great. So yeah, that was the project, and I'm very happy how it turned out, and maybe there are some other people who would just want to copy the code for some other app to improve on it, to use the idea, I don't know. It wasn't meant to compete with WhatsApp, for example, but to be a demo for this thing that this is possible and it's a nice feature to have. Maybe some other more popular messengers want to integrate this feature, but anyway, you can use it from the F-Droid store. It's free, open source. Just use it in your local home to, I don't know, I mean, for example, you can take two phones and then watch your back or something like that, I don't know. So that's great. So thank you. That's was the project. And if anybody wants to try it here on the Congress, it might be working here. Feel free. Ask me afterwards, and we can have a phone call. I mean, okay, maybe not a phone call, or like talk to each other. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, our next, you have your own laptop.
Hello. Ah, it's better. So hello, my name is Benjamin Henrion. I come from Belgium. It's been the second year I've been mentoring a student on the Freifunk Google Summer of Code. I was joined a startup back in 2015, which was trying to use multipass TCP. That was created at my university, UCL in Belgium. And multipass TCP is basically a change in the network stack of Linux so that you can use multiple, let's say, internet connections together and benefit from the bandwidth of both. So the history is that the company failed. They raised some money, but I got some public funding for doing an OpenWRT router where you could combine two internet connections from two different providers, install some cloud server, and then benefit from the double bandwidth of those two internet connections. At the time, so multipass TCP is TCP only, and at the time we used an OpenVPN TCP tunnel, so that when, let's say, local traffic from the local LAN arrive on the router, there is an OpenVPN traffic there, and multipass TCP is basically taking the OpenVPN TCP and encapsulating TCP in TCP. And when you search on the internet for TCP in TCP, the first page that pops up is, don't do that. Basically, once you have a bit of packet loss on one of the lines, you have the congestion algorithm of TCP that basically works on each other, and the performance is seriously degraded. So I basically resubmit this project as Google Summer of Code, and one student from Hungary, Ferenc, applied for it, and he already worked on multipass UDP during his research at the university. While being a student, not a PhD student, and now he's continuing in as a PhD, following on multipass TCP and basically in this direction. So one topology we wanted to address for Freifunk is this, and it's basically the result of the first year last year. So last year in 2017. We focused on that one, where he had two laptops, one OpenWRT router on each side, and four bridges on the two different frequencies. And the goal was to show that two laptops which don't have multipass TCP can talk to each other and benefit from the double of the bandwidth. So we successfully demonstrated that setup for, I think, the router we used were like Netgear 4800 running OpenWRT, and we showed 80 megabits, so two times 40 megabits, but we reached a limitation on the sense that this limitation was basically CPU bound. So the way we set it up was to use, instead of using OpenVPN TCP, we used Shadow SOX, which is used by the people who wants to go around the firewall of China. And Shadow SOX is like, it intercepts the TCP traffic and create a TCP tunnel, so you don't have this TCP in TCP encapsulation. So we had like 3 minutes last year when we went to California to show that to all Google Summer of Code. So I presented that slide in the first minute. And in the second minute, if I manage to go back, we present the video. Here. So the video is showing, I think, two times 20 megabit. If he wants to start. So here we show basically that between on the topology we have an IPERF server on one side, an IPERF client, and we get 40 megabit combined. And that's one of the routers, and he's gonna remove one of the cables, and it should go down to 20. I think there's a problem with the playing of the video. So it's cutting one of the links, and you quickly see that it's going down to 20. So the traffic is only going via one link. And when he's going to put back the cable again, it takes a bit of 30 seconds to get back to 40 megabits. Yeah, they get some DHCP IP address. Then it's going back to 40. So we got that set up. It was working, that's based on ShadowSox, but the limitation we got was ShadowSox was sticking to one CPU core, while we wanted at least for this one to, it had two CPU cores, we wanted to use two CPU cores, and at some point after the project was ended, we find an option in ShadowSox that it could use on Raspberry Pi. We tested with four CPU cores, so we got a little bit more speed. But still, we saw this a lot of context switching between user space and kernel space. And for 2018, I said we need to research if there is a better way to find something which is more kernel space and which does the same. So we did some research. I did some research originally. Yeah, thank you for the advertisement. But let's go back. So yeah, what I found was a kernel module called KSB. So KSB is a kernel SOX bouncer, so it was doing this work of taking the TCP traffic, putting into a SOX proxy tunnel in kernel space. But the problem is it wasn't for an old 2.6, and we tried to port to make that run on a recent kernel. It didn't really work out because it was too old and we had to do a lot of work. So we researched different options, and I think the last week of, or the two last weeks of the in August, we finally find out something called eBPF. So eBPF is some new engine which extends or replaces IP tables, so that you can programmatically take some packets in the Linux kernel and do some more advanced things with it. And there is an implementation called SOCMAP, which is doing this work of doing this SOX tunneling. With SOCMAP, we found... So this is the same setup as before, but this is with QEMU instead of real OpenWRT routers. So we in 2017 we forked ShadowSox to remove the encryption feature, and the main author of ShadowSox refused our patches because he said no, we focus on encryption, we wanted to have it secure, blah blah blah. But we said we focus on performance and we want to disable the encryption. So at the end, we made our own fork called ShadowSox No Crypto, and this year we added an extension for eBPF, where we ended up with some serious performance upgrade. So this eBPF is, I think, available stably on 4.14, but we find a real some bug. But at the end, we could at least run in this QEMU setup, without the eBPF patches, we could reach 152 megabit. But with the eBPF patches, we could get like around 400 megabits. So it was more than double improvement of in terms of speed. But the we found a bug if we were doing an FTP transfer. Some bits and bytes were lost in the process, and we actually found we filed a bug to the Cilium guy. So Cilium is a group which is doing this SOC map extension, and I think yesterday when I talked to the student, there is a GitHub issue filed on this, but I think it's not resolved yet. So the next work is actually to get this properly packaged in OpenWRT, and that's gonna be maybe for next year, or when I have time, I just try it out, make a package, and see. One thing we also looked at was to make an OpenWRT, because it's a special kernel, so we wanted to make a special OpenWRT package so that you could just do a OPKG install my multipass TCP kernel, and you would get another kernel. So yeah, that's pretty it. If you have any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions to Moritz, to Benjamin?
What does eBPF even mean?
Extended something packet filter. I don't know.
Okay, so thank you very much. If you have any ideas for Google Summer of Code and Freifunk, just talk to me, visit projects.freifunk.net, or talk to anyone else.